Almighty God, grant that we, who for our evil deeds worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of your grace may mercifully be relieved through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We join and sing, Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth in the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, you dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next a victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
You may be seated for the reading of Scripture.
First listen, there we go. The first lesson is from Numbers 21, beginning with verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient of the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is 107, starting with verse 1, and we'll read it responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let all those whom the Lord has redeemed proclaim
that he redeemed them from the land of the foe.
He gathered them out of the lands.
From the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes.
They found no way to a city where they might dwell.
They were hungry and thirsty.
Their spirits languished within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble.
And he delivered them from their distress.
He put their feet on a straight path
to go to a city where they might dwell.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy
and the wonders he does for his children.
For he satisfies the thirsty
and fills the hungry with good things.
The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to please turn to page number 26, if you happen to have your hymnal with you, and I invite you to please stand.
We'll return to the Lord, for the Lord is near, and leave our sinful way. We'll return to the Lord while the chance is here, to bow our hearts and pray. O Lord, merciful God, hear us as we obey. We'll return to the Lord while our Lord is near, and leave our sinful way, and leave our sinful way.
The Holy Gospel is written in the third chapter of St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Oh, you do that right away. That's true. Thank you, Fred. I'm going to have you stand again. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, God loves you, and so do I. God loves you, and so do I. So I have a relative that lives in Sweden, and how we got connected is it was actually the death of my father. And my father had corresponded with him over the years, and I had no idea. And my sister had sent him a letter to say, hey, just to let you know that Vernon Hedman has passed away. And all of a sudden, we just connected with him. And he's been sending us Facebook pictures and all that good stuff, and it's been a lot of fun. Well, one day, he sent me a picture on Facebook, and it was, he had gone to church. And when I looked at the sanctuary, one of the things that was interesting is they had this ship, this kind of like model ship, and it was hanging up in the sanctuary. And I go, wow, that's really odd. I've never seen like a ship there. And so I asked him about that, and he said, well, you've got to understand, for us Scandinavians, we're tied to the sea, and also when we had our folks immigrate, that ship has been very, very important to us to remind us of, you know, you got to put your trust in God, right? Well, then he went on to tell me an interesting story. He said, there's another church that if you ever come to visit me, I'm going to take you to. Because they got this beautiful pulpit, and right over next to it is a life-sized Christ. And when you look at the life-sized Christ, he's got like hair like this. It's not like carved out of wood. It looks like a real person. And I thought, wow, that's pretty odd. And I said, well, why are you sharing that with me? And he said, well, back in the 1700s, the king of Sweden came to that church to worship. And when he walked in, the preacher that was in the pulpit decided, oh my gosh, it is the king of Sweden. And so he kind of put his sermon aside and he started just praising and giving lots of adoration to the king of Sweden. He really thought he did a great job. Well, that week, the church received this big box and they opened it up, and in there was this life-size Jesus with a message, and it said this: hang this within the church so that whoever stands in the pulpit will be reminded of the proper subject. You know, it's so easy for us to get so fixed on Easter that we really miss Lent, right? It really is. And I know you guys are doing a sermon series, What the Hands Around the Cross, and we're doing something similar. I'm doing the seven last words spoken by Jesus from the cross. And it's really important that we do that because we really we need to understand what Christ has done for us. I had a former music director friend of mine, and she said, you know, you can't sing about the old rugged cross before that old rugged cross gets on the hill. And it's always stuck with me. You know, there's real power in that image in our lessons for tonight. When you look at the very first lesson, or actually when you look at what I read, it talks about Moses, right? And he lifted up that snake, and that snake has always been the symbol at hospitals, right? And the people needed to focus their eyes on them so they could be cured, right? But it was kind of a foretaste of what would happen with Jesus, that he would be lifted up, and that you and I in every generation will look at the cross and look at Christ and be healed and be cured. You see, I can understand the reason for that King of Sweden, that whoever stands in the pulpit needs to make sure that we're preaching about the proper subject. We see in today's gospel God's motivation towards his people. And God's motivation is always that of love. It's always that of love. And God's love is not limited just to a few people. That's one of the things that the chosen people just didn't understand. They thought it was just for them. No, you guys were supposed to be the light bearers. Didn't you get it? They didn't get it. So you know what God had to do? I'm coming down so you get it. Yes, he expressed that love by sending his only and precious son, Jesus himself. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is illustrative to the point that when you look at those words, and you know, when we go to seminary, we got to take Greek and Hebrew and spend all that money, right? Get educated. It's an honor. Yeah. Well, when you're going through the class, it doesn't seem like it's an honor, right? But when you look at that word one, it means only, only begotten, only born one. God loved you to the point that he sent his only son to die for you and to be raised from the dead. You see, when we look at the cross, we can look at all the pain and the suffering, which we need to, but we also need to look beyond the cross. And there is where God always gives us a glimpse of paradise. Yes, that old rugged cross, we can hear the sounds of the hammering of the nails during Lent. We can hear the cry of pain from the only Son of God, Jesus. And why did he go through all that suffering? He went through it because he loves you and I. That was the purpose of the cross. Yes, for God so loved the world, God so loved us that he sacrificed the Son, in fact, God's only Son, to the cross so that we might be free. Free from the bondage of sin that is such a part of our lives. The cross of Calvary, that old rugged cross, is indeed an emblem of suffering and pain, but it's also a symbol of freedom. It's a sign of liberation. It sets us free from that bondage. Our chains are ripped apart, and we can walk in the light and not in the darkness. And we can look forward to that Easter morn There was an essay entitled On the Tree. It was by George G. Lee, not General Lee. And this is what he wrote. He says, thus we see that the cross On the cross where the history of human guilt culminated, he was wounded for our transgressions. On the cross where purposes of divine love are made intelligible, he was bruised for our iniquities. As our substitute on the cross, where the majesty of the law is fulfilled, he bore the penalty of our transgressions and iniquities. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. What it says in 1 Peter is, only as our substitute could he have borne them. As Abraham offered the ram instead of Isaac, his son, so Christ was offered once and for all to bear the sins of all humankind. I think it is fair to say that there's not many songs or hymns that are as powerful as that old Rugged Cross hymn, right? So much power, so much emotion in that hymn. It was the modern-day prophet, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As he reflected on this text, he said, you know, Calvary is a telescope through which we look into the long vista of eternity and see the love of God breaking forth into time. You see, that cross continues to help you and I in a very remarkable way, in which God got through to us finally. He finally got through to us to show us exactly how much he loves us. Soren Kierkegaard, one of these theologians that we study, he said in removing from Christianity its ability to shock, it is altogether destroyed. It becomes a superficial thing, incapable of inflicting deep wounds or of healing them. In other words, the cross is meant to shock us. Shock us into that Christ-centered sanity to finally understand how much God loves us. Yes, as the words of that old famous hymn go, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, and I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. And so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Yes, God did this because God loves you and I. And that's one of the things I love about the Lutheran faith, right? Especially the communion part. When you come up for communion and we hand you the bread and the wine, we look at you and we say it's given and shed for who? For you. For you, all because of the cross. You see, God loves everything that he created. God could not bear to look down and see his creation suffer. So he had to do something about it. And so he built a bridge. Because there was such a big chasm between us, right? And that chasm, that bridge that he built was the cross of Jesus Christ. And it was a cross that you and I could pass over and we can have that relationship with God again. Yes, God, the master builder of creation, designed this cross in order that you and I can have true freedom. You see, God shared it with all who would believe that the work was done for them. God used that cross of Calvary, that old rugged cross, and he built that bridge between God and us so that we can look beyond that cross And we can see a future with those that have gone before us. Yes, in that old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. As the cross comes into sharper view as we get closer and closer to Easter, we can see that man hanging on the cross. We can see the holes in his hands. We can see the thorns in his head. And we can hear the conversation that he has as he is dying for the rest of humanity. And we can see this one person suffering for the entire world. And we can see him who was forsaken, feeling alone, feeling the weight of all sinful creation on his back. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And who did he give it for? You. For you. We're always talking about having a personal relationship with God. This is it. God comes to us. He came for you. Very personal. Yes, he offered himself. He gave himself. He took away the sting of death and the power of death. The pain of death all upon himself, so you and I would not have to. You know, I think of what my family has recently gone through. There's no way we'd get through it if we didn't know Christ and what Christ has done for us. No way. And so I'm so thankful to God that when I look at the cross, I always see a symbol of hope. I see a symbol of freedom. I see a symbol of sacrifice. And I see that God shared this love with all the world. Yes, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. We join in singing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
I sacrifice them.
Redeem as my soul, my life, my all.
The following people have been elected by this congregation to positions of leadership, so I invite up Pam and Jeff and Lee and Julie and Larry. So I say to you, elected leaders, you have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith reflect Him, in whose name we gather. You are to work together with other members to see that the worship and work of Christ are done in this congregation, and that God's will is done in this community and in the whole world. You are to be diligent in your specific area of serving, that the one Lord who empowers you is glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, to help maintain the life and harmony of this congregation. So on behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, are you ready to accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, answer yes by the help of God. And members of Emmanuel Lutheran, I ask you, will you support these elected leaders and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all the baptized? If so, say yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
And now I declare you installed as officers and council members of this congregation. God bless each of you with His Holy Spirit, that you may prove faithful servants of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Let's give Him a round of applause. Now, I didn't see in here where it said, do whatever the pastor tells you to do. Good. Yeah, we'll continue our worship with the prayers of the church.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, help us remember that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works and that it is by your grace we are saved through faith and not of our own merit. Grant us the knowledge and wisdom to understand this is a gift of God. We also pray that we would continue to follow your ways and not the ways of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we are free to come with confidence into your presence and share in the promise we have in Christ as members of your holy church. We pray that we may remain holy, blameless, and covered with your love so we may continue your work. Ensure that we would be humble servants, taking no credit for the ways in which you lead us to care for the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, watch over our students and teachers as they continue to work together to gain knowledge. We also pray that through their knowledge, they may seek to understand your ways and your will during their studies at home or away at school. Inspire all of us to be constant learners, especially when it comes to learning your holy word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for comfort for all those who are hurting and suffering in mind, body, or spirit. We especially remember silently or aloud these people.
And Dale.
Shibley. Pam. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them so they may feel the power of your healing presence and rest assured in your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to please stand as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to just share something with you. When I was on my internship in Ellsworth, Wisconsin, at English Lutheran Church, just had a banner year. It was such a great year. We had a lot of people involved in the church and did a lot of great things. And I remember I looked at my internship pastor, and I said, you know, I'm probably going to get called to a church in North Dakota, and I won't have the gifted people that you have here. And he looked at me, and he said, hold it. He said, you know what? Every church you go to, God has given you all the gifts that you'll need to be the church. Think of that. So guess where I ended up with my first call? North Dakota. And you know what? It was true. All the gifted people. So I want you to always think of this. So Christ is the head, right? He is the rock. We are the living stones, right? So we're the ones that make it happen. And God provides us with the Holy Spirit and empowers us to do great things for his name. So, well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I say this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We join in singing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield and still. Have my own way, Lord, have my own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.